Our Honest Life is a minimally edited, slice-of-life podcast that may contain vulgar language, adult themes, and sexually graphic content. Thanks for listening.
Hello, this is Our Honest Life with Church and Mercy.
I'm Church.
I'm Mercy.
And we're doing our best to come up with worse and worse intros every single podcast.
That one was terrible. I think we're improving.
Next, I'm just going to set up a tower of Jenga blocks and knock that over.
No.
And say, you know, welcome, you know, no. To our honest life.
I hate that sound. It's the worst sound in the
Jenga
world.
Jenga blocks falling. Your own personal hell.
Moving on.
That's the other name for this podcast. Moving on.
I thought it was your own personal hell.
Sometimes. That's just for our listener, though, not for us.
And who's listening this week, Church?
Oh, probably no one at this point. Like I said, I always envision this as a live radio show for some reason, when it's clearly not, and people tune in at different times and drop out, but that's not how this works. Listener's already there.
You grossly misunderstand the concept of a podcast.
Technology is for the young. I don't even know how we set this up or how we got here, but it seems to work.
So, what do we have to talk about this week?
No, we mean this week? You mean since yesterday?
We could record 5 podcasts in a day. Nobody would know.
So, I guess I'll recap a bit of my day because a couple interesting things happened that are worth chatting about there. I went out with my daughter to run a few errands, one of which was to get more cat food for our cats. And so, we went to the pet store because we buy snobby cat food for our cats. Only the finest berries and grains, but very little amount of animal byproduct meal for our animals. But anyways, while we were at the pet store, after we picked out, you know, the cat food we needed, my daughter just loves animals. Well, our daughter loves animals.
It's true, I had a hand in that.
We start checking out all the different animals, and we go into the aquarium section, and we're looking at all the fish, and next to the aquarium section is all the lizards and, like, you know, tarantulas and snakes and stuff. So
you buy the lizards and tarantulas.
Yeah. So there's some lizards, some tarantulas, some snakes, that crazy whole section. And we both, you know, I bend down to my daughter's looking at some bearded lizards. And we bend down to take a look at them. And there's lots of other people actually in the pet store. And they're all around us. And after, you know, I scope out the lizard. Yay, a lizard. I stand up. And there's a woman right behind me. And she has her hand, open palm, outward towards me, and as I stand up, and she's real close to me because her hand cups my ass just naturally, just whoop, like, and I didn't stand up super fast where, you know, you'd be like, oh, I got a whole cheek there. No, I stood up at a slow rate, and I was like, what is that? Because I'm trying to figure it out. She says, sorry, but the hand's still there. It feels my whole cheek, and then it just slowly moves away. So there was a sorry while there was a whole hand still there, like the... The apology's there, but I'm still doing it.
Your mouth is saying sorry, but your hand is saying squish, yeah. Squish.
Yeah, so I got molested at a pet store by a lady. Yeah.
That is really terrible.
Oh, no, it was great. It was not a problem in the least.
I feel less bad laughing at it now.
She walked away and did not look back. I guess, you know, she had a feel and she was like, well, no.
How far did the fingers get under the cheek? Was it full cheek coverage?
I don't know. I can't feel the phantom hand anymore. I don't know. It didn't, it was just more like, what's going on? There's a hand on my ass. Sorry. Oh, the hand's still there. Oh, now it's going. There's the recap. That's how that went.
It's like she was congratulating you on a good play.
It was definitely like someone feeling your ass, because they want to feel it. Not because it was like, good job, Jimmy. You know, like you scored the touchdown that won the game.
You know so much about sports, and it really comes through in the confident way you speak about it.
Jimmy.
Sports the shit out of it.
So, no, I didn't get the Jimmy football sports tap. I got the, like, you envision it in an adult film when the teacher, you know, keeps you after class, and she, you know, touches your butt while you're dusting off the chalkboard brushes.
I want to see this porn where someone is cleaning the chalkboard brushes. Sure.
And it's like a kid who is... You know, told to stay after class, but this kid is 30. That's just the way it works.
He's been staying after class for about 10 years.
Yeah, well, he's really not good at school, clearly. Has Ron Howard ever made a Christmas movie?
I bet Ron Howard has.
I bet he hasn't.
I don't know. That seems like something.
Do you think maybe there's a Robert Langdon? Is it Robert Langdon? Is that the name of the?
That sounds like an actor's name.
No, I'm thinking the Tom Hanks movies that Ron Howard makes with him, based off like the Da Vinci Code and all that, because he stars in all those movies: Inferno, the one about the young Pope.
The young Pope.
There is totally one of those movies with Tom Hanks and the young Pope. The young Pope is Ewan McGregor.
But it's not the Jude Law young Pope. It's a Ewan McGregor young Pope.
I just said it was Ewan McGregor.
I know, but my brain was already going on something. Was he the Pope? I thought he was a cardinal.
No, he becomes the Pope. That's his whole play. He wants control of the church and he's engineering everything.
And then...
Wow. No, you've so derailed this. All I wanted to know is what the name of that character was that Tom Hanks plays, because that's a series of movies. So the next Robert, whatever his name is, movie, because I assume there'll be one with Ron Howard where that character has to save Christmas. But that joke just won't play anymore. We're so far removed from it. Joke. Like it was ever going to be funny. You're going to cut all this out. This is just horrible.
I've been editing all the podcasts that we have recorded and just realizing how bad we are at speaking in the best way. We don't finish stories. We move from one topic to another topic spontaneously and freely through the course of the entire thing.
I assume it has to be very infuriating for anyone who listens to us. It's like, I'll never understand what happened next. So I assume people are going to have to start reaching out to us through, you know, social media or something and being like, hey, could you finish that story one of these days? Though most of the stories, most people are probably okay letting go. They weren't great. It's more the journey, right?
We start a story. The other person fixates on one word or detail and suddenly springboards into a completely separate story, which somehow snowballs into five different stories. And 20 minutes later, one of us snaps to and says, hey, weren't we talking about X subject here?
The X subject. Now, is that like a horror movie, a superhero movie, a porno? What is that?
Maybe it's all Thor.
All Thor.
All Thor 1 and all for Thor.
You want to see a movie that's just all Thor?
Maybe if it was Thor and his roommate.
So is the movie all Thor just like Thor plays every part? He's the doorman. He's, you know, Thor, the main guy we're following. He's the grocery clerk.
So it's like being John Malkovich when they get in John Malkovich's head.
Well, they only say Malkovich, though. Does he just walk around saying Thor?
No, I just assume that he's the waitress that brings them coffee.
All right. So that anyway, that's one possible Thor's movie. Four Thors. And then another one is it's just Thor just hanging out, just watching TV and playing video games, and maybe he's mopping.
What's he mopping?
I don't know. He spilled some coffee.
I really don't want to watch this movie.
He was putting his hammer down and he, you know, knocked the table and knocked a cup of coffee to the floor, and then he's got to go get the mop. He just, you know, mopping it up. Maybe he doesn't get mopped. Maybe he just gets paper towel.
This is a terrible movie.
Thor mops.
Ron Howard's going to contact us.
Oh, man, Ron Howard is, he's on the phone with his people right now. He's like, find me these two idiots.
I just heard
and kill them.
The greatest pitch for a movie.
Yeah, I have to wipe them out so I can steal it. Because that's cheaper than paying us, because our rates are astronomical.
We can command the highest rates in all of Hollywood.
I work for two beavers.
What?
The animal. Pay me two beavers and you can have any of my ideas.
I thought you meant you were employed by two beavers. They were your bosses. They told you what to do.
It's going to be hard to talk to you tonight. Employed by two beavers. So Thor works for two beavers. No, he doesn't. That's just stupid.
Let's stop that right there. Let's move on to something else.
What movies did we watch this week? What TV did we enjoy? We watched 10 minutes of the movie 10, starring yes. Dudley Moore, The Sound of Music Lady, Mary Poppins.
Juliette
Lewis.
No, Juliette Lewis was not in that movie.
Oh, my mistake. Julie Andrews. And Bo Derek. Yeah, introducing Bo Derek. And I believe also the last time anybody saw Bo Derek, as far as I can recollect. I mean, she's like a trivia question. You hear it all the time. Like, ooh, Bo Derek, you know, so amazing in 10. I don't know anything else she did. Of course, watch me say that. She's been in a ton of other movies.
So for anyone who hasn't seen the movie 10, which I'm going to guess is a shitload of people, what's the plot line?
Okay, so Dudley Moore, who's a charming early 40-something. I think he's having a bit of midlife crisis. That's really what it is. Was he married?
I don't know.
Is he married to Julie Andrews? I don't know if they're married or not, but they're at least living together. They're a very serious couple, whether they're married or not. But he's having a bit of a midlife crisis, and he sees this really attractive younger lady, I guess, but she's like getting married, and she follows her to her wedding?
She's driving to the church in a limousine. And he pulls his car out of the driveway where he was parking at home, and he just turns it around and follows her to the church. And then follows her into the church. Or wait, no, he tried to.
He goes into the church, and then he knocks over a potted plant and shatters or something, and then he just disappears. He runs away.
But he also hit a police car with his car.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, we don't need to recap the whole movie. That's not important. I guess you are getting carried away with
that
nonsense
info. Talking about. You were correct.
So we saw this movie. I guess maybe it's a little bit more than 10 minutes, but not much more. It's definitely about, this midlife crisis he seems to be having. But it's got witty dialogue, and it's skirting this very serious tone at times, but it's also clearly a comedy, and all the music's done by, Mancioni or whatever?
Chuck Mangione.
Oh, Mangione, sure, whatever. That guy. Yeah, all the music, so the music's kind of slow and kind of all, like,
it's got
horns.
It's got that farty trumpet sound to it.
But then there's zany scenes every now and then, like something off the wall and goofy just happens every now and then. And then it's just moved on from that. I am knocking everything over around here. This is great. I think we set things up to booby trap myself here. Oh, booby trap. There's a word. What kind of traps?
Where did boobies? The word come from?
Well, I don't know. Does it have something to do with like that bird, the booby or something like that? And it was some sort of trap they had with it? Like maybe that's like the genesis of that, of that word or phrase. But as a child, come on, booby means, breasts. And, you hear booby trap and you're like, wait a minute, boob trap?
That's what a bra is, trap for your boobs. I watched a documentary.
That's a literal booby trap, I guess. Well, they can get out of it, though.
Documentary on smart birds.
Was it good?
There was a lot of close-ups of birds, so I enjoyed it. It was good.
So you enjoyed it, but you didn't classify whether it was actually of quality or not. People do that a lot. It's like, oh, is the movie any good? Well, I enjoyed it. Well, what the hell? Was it good?
Well, that's a
no, I recognize it's shitty, but it made me laugh a little bit. So, hey,
It was informative.
At least that's an honest review,
It was an educational and well-shot documentary.
I watched a lot of those in, school. They would, put on, they'd rent weird movies for you from that weird educational storehouse they have.
What is the most inappropriate movie you were shown in school?
No.
No, so.
No, serious. No, I got nothing for you there.
So, when I was in grade 7 or 8, in one of the classes, they wheeled in the TV and they showed us Mission Impossible.
Your story is amazingly anticlimactic.
Oh, no, it's not like they showed us 9.5 weeks or...
You started off with, what is the most inappropriate thing they ever showed you in school? Like, this is going to be scandalous. And I'm just like, no, nothing. Nothing was ever wrong. And you're like, they showed us Mission Impossible in grade 8. Outrageous. Could you imagine? My parents, if they had known, they would have said, oh yeah, Tom Cruise. Like, come on. It's not a bad movie. There's barely any questionable material in that movie. I mean, okay, people die, I guess.
Emilio Estevez gets crushed by the elevator.
Oh, it's all implied. It's all off screen.
I know, but I really loved Emilio Estevez, so I was heartbroken.
Oh, I see. Great. That's why we were upset. Emilio Estevez died, and you were like, he can't die. I wanted to watch Emilio Estevez the whole time, and now I gotta watch Tom Cruise. Second-rate Emilio.
That's my criteria for whether a movie is good.
This was scandalous. All right, so that's why that was. Oh, okay. So if that's your criteria, geez, hold on. I saw a whole lot more, crazy risque things in school then, let me tell you. Romeo and Juliet. Yeah, the one where you can see a boob. We watched that.
What? Yeah, you get to see a boob?
Yeah, they made one from the, I think it was in the 60s or 70s. I'm not sure. And it was, like, apparently a big deal then. Anyway, they showed it in, one of my English classes, I think,
did second you have last year of
high school or something. No, did not. But we were warned beforehand. We were told, if we had a problem with that, there's a one scene, and if you don't like that, you don't have to watch it.
Okay, kids, we're going to show you a movie. There's a breast in it. Anyone who wants to leave now can go. Suddenly, 10 more kids from outside the class come in. Oh, yeah, we heard there was a movie with boobs in it.
It was the only way they could get people to watch Shakespeare. No.
Shakespeare, I never liked it. But that is neither here nor there.
I get it. I understand it. I mean, I've been through a lot of literary schooling in my time. And the concepts and ideas of Shakespeare are great, of course. But the language is difficult and hard to digest for a lot of people. But there's a lot of wit in there. But you really have to understand that prose. And it's not easy to get. What else did we watch? So we saw 10. Yeah, that was good. Dudley Moore definitely was quite a charismatic guy. It was one of those movies where, it's a classic and people always talk about it. And it was like, all right, let's give it a shot. I think we will go back and finish it at some point. It was definitely a quality. You could see that. Then next on the list, what else? We watched The Interview again over the span of, I think, 3 nights. We, you know, a half hour here, a half hour there. The Interview is that movie with Seth Rogen. Was it James Franco?
Yes.
Yeah.
Franco's brother.
The only takeaway I have from it, I mean, it's an okay movie. It makes me laugh in the right spots. It works for me. It's offensive. It's crazy. It's out there. So it's fun. But James Franco, we decided, would make a pretty good Joker for Batman.
He's got a really big Cesar Romero thing going on.
He's like a throwback to, I guess, like the cartoon version of the Joker, like the Mark Hamill voiced one. He could pull off a real version of that. You know, the wacky, you know, clown in the purple suit who has joy buzzers that electrocutes you and he says weird, strange things. And then he's in a Hawaiian shirt later on wearing sunglasses. And I'm just saying they've gone down the path, I think, after Heath Ledger, who did, you know, an amazing job in The Dark Knight, right? Giving us that sort of, you know, the deranged psychotic. Yeah, I mean, the Joker's always going to be a deranged psychotic, a very gritty, really grounded take. I think they made a mistake with the Joker and the Suicide Squad trying to still kind of go down that path, but with Jared Leto, but it just doesn't. It's weird. They tried to amp it up. I don't know what they were trying to do. They made him like a gang boss or something.
Hey, Heath Ledger's Joker was edgy and popular. Let's make him 20 times more edgy and make him like a thug.
I think they tried to throw a bit back to the comics, but not enough. It's a weird hodgepodge creation. I think they needed to go closer back to the comics and stuff like that. And yeah, and I think we just said we could see someone like James Franco doing it.
I want to see James Franco making balloon animals and then just getting pissed off because no one's getting his jokes.
He pulls out a gun and shoots someone?
Not even a gun. A flamethrower. It has to be something super campy or ridiculous.
Yes and no. I mean, he needs to think it's funny that he pulls a rubber chicken out of his jacket and no one laughs, and then he just turns on them, right? Because he wants you to always find him entertaining. But he's bad at it. He's only good at it when he's giving in to, you know, saying crazy things as he's, you know, murdering people.
He's got the joyous mayhem. And the Heath Ledger Joker was funny-ish. He was amusing, but he was still clearly very dangerous and unstable at all times. And sometimes the Mark Hamill Joker or the Cesar Romero Joker, they didn't seem as dangerous. I mean, Cesar Romero obviously did not seem dangerous because that was the 60s Batman.
The Joker, I don't know if he was that funny. He was just unhinged, an anarchist, an extreme anarchist, a genius, like just clearly like off the charts intelligent, right? Because he's pulling off things and doing stuff and he has his agenda is just to...
He's the anti-Batman.
Yeah, just destroy everything.
That is kind of what gets lost when the Joker is used as a property without Batman to measure against. People forget that he is the anti-Batman, and they just see, oh, he's a funny clown and he's crazy.
So is the anti-Batman, that's like Batman's aunt, right? That's
anti. No, that's Batman when Batman is your auntie.
Anti-Batman? Your auntie put on a Batman costume.
She probably did.
And just came over and she's anti-Batman at that point. It's just Halloween with your aunt.
Dressed as Batman.
Well, I don't know where that was going. So The Interview, yeah. James Franco, yeah, he'd make a good Joker. You know, if they wanted to do that style. On TV, we're almost done watching Legion.
I'm quite enjoying Legion.
Yeah, the episode before, this is the second last episode, the seventh episode, and we watched the sixth episode before. And the sixth episode was that type of story where we, the viewers, know what's going on and you're waiting for all the characters to catch up to where we're at to figure things out. Like, we all know they were in some sort of dream world, right? That it wasn't real. And you're just waiting for the characters to figure it out. And I was like, oh, this is the weakest episode of the whole show so far. But you needed that episode to establish everything that went down in the seventh episode. And the seventh episode was great.
The entire episode takes place in the span of basically a microsecond where the characters are frozen.
So the thing with Legion is it stars this guy. I think his name's Daniel.
Dan Stevens.
Dan? Well, isn't Dan a Daniel?
Yes.
So you're correcting my nothing. So thanks for that. So...
pedantry.
What is that?
Being really specific about details. Carry on.
Yeah. Only someone who is that thing you just said would even know that word. So my man Dan, he's also the Beast in Beauty and the Beast, the live action version. Well, I don't know how live action that is because he's a CGI creation that looks weird as hell.
That movie is 97% CGI. I'm not even sure that Emma Watson is a real person. She could be just created by a computer.
Anyway, same guy. So that's the thing we saw, too. The other thing we have on our list that we saw was porn. Was it on the weekend you went?
I went to a concert, and I was out fairly late.
Right, and as a responsible parent, I put my children to bed, and once they were asleep, I went and started using my computer to look up porn, because I rarely have a night to myself anymore. And that's okay, I'm not upset by this, just for the story. Finally, I had a night to myself, and I was like, hey, I know what I'll do. I'll go use the internet to find myself some adult entertainment. Did some searches, and as usual, you know, the weirder and the stranger, the better. And I found an older, sort of like, strange incest porn movie. I mean, it's all fake. It's not real for a second. Oh, it's just the weirdest. Some guy finds his mom passed out, like super drunk, passed out and on pills or something. And the mom was like masturbating, and he's like all turned on by it. So he starts like fooling around with like his passed out mom a bit. And then his sister busts in on him, and she was like, well, I better help you finish the job so you leave mom alone or something. So like gives him a blowjob or something. Anyways, it's ridiculous. And then he fools around with the sister right next to the mom. Anyway, we don't need to describe the whole thing.
Is it that kind of podcast now?
I don't think so. I think we went overboard as is. Anyways, so I found this. And then I had to show it to Mercy because I was just like, hey, wait, this thing is like, these porn stars like went for it. Like they full on, like they embraced this role. And like the woman who's playing the mom lays there passed out for the whole thing.
She does not move.
Never. But she's getting fondled and exposed and touched all the time. And it's ridiculous.
And the whole thing, like they wrote a script for this. There are scenarios. There are characters. They have clear backstories. You are told what their motivations are. They're talking about real world stuff that's not just related to porn.
Yeah, they're talking about how desperate they are currently and hard up. In a sadly kind of believable way. Because most porns is acted horribly. And this was kind of like, oh, they're going for like, this is amateur and real. Except there's not actually supposed to be a camera there. It's just the point of view of the guy.
The point of view
is his head or something.
It's a point of view cam that is.
But there's
the
no
guy
cam actually there.
It.
You're supposed to act like there's no camera. Like everybody acts like there's no camera. But it's his head. It's really weird.
Well, you never see the guy aside from his penis and his legs and his hand. But you just hear his voice because he's talking to the sister character. And he really sounds like Jesse Eisenberg. Really. 100%.
Well, we never see him, so maybe it is Jesse Eisenberg. Who knows?
I know.
This is how he broke into acting.
I was hesitant to mention that because I thought it might be embarrassing.
It for him.
To let people know that I watched something with Jesse Eisenberg in it.
The Social Network.
I'd probably make out with Jesse Eisenberg, though.
Oh, all right.
If the situation ever came up, I'm just letting him know that I'd be open to it.
Let me get out that list I maintain of everyone you said you'd make out with if given the opportunity. Oh, wait, there's no more room in that book I've been using. It's full. Oh, well. So, yeah, you know, this being our honest life, I guess it's fair to share the weird, strange porno we found that was entertaining enough to share amongst ourselves late one night. And then the awful, horrible people we are, it was arousing enough that we made sweet love afterwards.
Oh, that did not count as sweet love. That was rock solid fucking... Rock solid.
Rock solid.
I don't know.
What is that? What? No, I'm trying to picture rock solid sex. Oh, yeah. It's like we had sex on solid rocks. What?
So uncomfortable.
It's really uncomfortable. Bad sex? Is that what that was?
I was trying to think.
Is that your descriptor?
I was trying to think.
That sex was hard as a rock.
I was trying to think of a descriptor for it, and I was failing miserably, and I just threw out whatever words came to mind. It sounded sexy and hard. And apparently that was rock solid. It sounds like something that somebody would have as a decal on the back of their minivan. Rock solid.
Like, isn't that how you describe, like, a really well-built pickup truck? It's rock solid or something.
Like a rock.
Our sex was really well-built. Is that what you're saying?
So, well, it was fantastically put together.
So if you could come up with another descriptor for the sex.
No, I'm still failing at it. The sex was so good that I do not have words for it. But making sweet love makes me think of something slow and tender. And this was hard, aggressive, screwing.
Slow and tender. Is that actually any good?
Sometimes it is. Sometimes that's what you want. You just want, like, pressure on you. from another body, but it doesn't really hit the G-spot inside. It's not cervix-pounding love.
You know, if we're calling that sweet love, wouldn't a cuddle just suffice?
No, because I
With smooches?
I like the penis. The fullness of a penis inserted into my vagina. It's pleasurable. Let me say that more like a robot.
All right, let's hear the robot version of that.
It is pleasurable to have a penis inserted into my vagina.
Whew.
Vaginal canal.
I hear the word canal and I'm immediately transported to Venice. They do like vaginal canal. I'm just going to row my boat down that.
It's so big. You could put a gondola in it.
Not just one.
Multiple.
Those canals are two-lane sometimes. Two-lane gondolas.
Two-lane vaginas.
Two-lane vaginas? No. No.
Dueling vaginas? No.
That they're just queefing to each other? Is that, yeah? Is that how you do the dueling vaginas? Because what other sound does a vagina make?
No, it doesn't.
Well, I guess there's that sound like pudding sometimes that it makes.
So you have to clarify, because if you have a bowl of pudding sitting on the counter, that pudding is not making any noises on its own. When does the pudding make a noise?
When you put the spoon in it.
When you're eating it or when you're mixing it?
Yes.
When we have talked about the vagina making noise, you've likened it to a dog eating a bowl of wet food.
I'm going to start the next podcast that way. Previously on Our Honest Life.
Vaginas. Do they sound like dogs eating wet food?
Dogs eating wet food. Pudding.
Mixing a big pot of macaroni and cheese.
Oh, yeah. Mixing macaroni and cheese. That's a sound. The wooden spoon in a big pot. Like, it's the worst. It's just...
There's another sound. I make that sound when I'm doing something else. I'm trying to think of what it is because I know you hate it. And I, it's
when
probably...
you walk, your vagina opening and closing. Yeah. We just covered that.
You love that noise.
No, dog eating wet food. Yeah, that was a good one. Previously on Our Honest Life, Church laughs at a joke from many weeks ago. It's still funny, he says. I don't think that's previously. That's currently. All right. I have one last thing written down, and it's just Church versus the drain. And I figure... That's a thing that's been going on for a long time in our lives.
Why would you bring this up at the end when this topic spans several podcasts?
No one has the patience to hear several podcasts about how the water won't drain properly out of our bathtub and how I've taken on an eternal struggle. It's like a quest that you can never complete.
This is your Sisyphean task. You're eternally pushing the boulder up the hill.
Yeah, I will perish in my quest to clear this drain. It'll happen. And I've reached a point where we could call a plumber. It's probably also not that expensive to get them to probably clear our drain properly. But no, I can't do that now. I'm in. It's going to happen. But our drain, it's magical in the worst sense in that we can clear it. It'll drain perfectly fine. And then within as short as the next day,
within 3 hours sometimes.
Even the same day. Yeah. It slowly stops draining properly again. But it can go as long as a couple weeks sometimes where it's perfectly fine. And then it just starts to slowly not drain properly again. And then it's just annoying. You're showering and eventually you're like, well, my feet are in water now. Every week it's become a ritual to purchase new and different drain cleaning supplies. We purchased so many things. We bought little mini snakes to snake down the drain. We bought every type of Drano and liquid plumber and, you know, crystals and combinations of foam,
clog busters.
You name it. Some work better than others. The one that works the best is some weird Drano hair clog remover. And it's almost like, well, it has to be a hair problem.
You keep insisting this is somehow caused by me shaving my armpits. And I just don't think that is true.
No, it's not your armpits. That's not what I insinuate.
You're saying my pubes.
Yeah.
It's my gnarly long pubes.
Yeah, that's what I say does it.
I don't have any pubic hair. And I don't let it get that long. There is no way that
How long was it earlier this week?
Earlier this week?
Yep.
Okay, well, it's long enough to get irritated, which is 3 days worth of growth.
Oh, no. Because there was a point in the week we were getting naked, you know, which any night, and...
I'm always naked.
There was definitely noticeable growth at this point. It was noticeable at this point, because I remember commenting on it. I was like, oh, it's like the perfect length. It's
That's
so soft
right.
and nice.
You said it was the perfect length.
Yeah, it was great. Oh, no, hey, I don't have a problem with the hair. I'm just saying... I think that's what plugs the drain. Don't confuse these two things. Don't say one reflects on the other. It has no bearing. I was enjoying this. Anyways, it was the perfect length. So that already, though, was many more days than 3 days worth of growth. There is no way that is just 3 days at that point where it was nice. And then later in the week, which I would say is at least 3 days, I remember seeing it again. It was a lot longer at this point. And then you shaved it. So none of this 3 days of growth business. No.
I think you're misremembering things, because the day that you mentioned that it was the perfect length, I agreed it was the perfect length. Then the next day, when I had a shower, I remember thinking, maybe one more day is fine. And that day was so horribly itchy that the next day I shaved. It was not 3 days in between.
It might be.
It was not.
But your primary argument is that you shave it every 3 days, and this is not true. That is what I am challenging.
I'm going to start setting a calendar for this.
I'll help you fill that in. So,
yeah, help me fill something else in.
Yeah, I'm going to jam more pubes down that drain. I'm going to help you with that.
Your pubic hair is so much longer than mine. You're the one that lets it get out of control. No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm not challenging that. But where do I take care of my business? Where do I shave my stuff up? Not in the shower.
You trim most of it on the toilet.
Yeah,
and I leave pubic hair all around.
I sit on the toilet. And I take out the clippers. Yeah, electric clippers. And I buzz it down over like a garbage...
There is pubic hair all over the bathroom.
It doesn't all go into the little wastebasket I have. It gets around, you know? It flies around. Maybe some flies into the drain from where I'm sitting on the toilet. I'm not saying that might not happen.
I have legitimately thought of shaving my pubes and all other parts of my body outside the shower for a whole month and like not washing my hair in the shower, doing everything outside the shower. Just to prove you wrong. Just to say, see, an entire month went by and I didn't contribute and the drain is still plugged.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah, that's what we're doing now. We're going to throw down.
Yeah, you have lots of long hair and you lose some. But anyways, I think that's what contributes to it. Whether I'm right or not, the drain still gets plugged up somehow again on a weekly basis, if not sooner. In fact, it's almost always sooner. We're lucky if we hit a week. That's a great week.
We used to go several weeks between the drain starting to slow down. And now it's on a constant basis.
Yeah.
And we have no idea what is causing this, but I blame our neighbors.
Maybe. Let's not get into why we blame our neighbors for that. But this hair clog remover works, but it's getting rid of whatever's in front of the real blockage. That's all that's happening.
I'm terrified of what is down there. There is something horrible that's stopping it up, and it's really far down.
It's something awesome. It's a treasure. I think I might open up the children's barrel of monkeys, and I might start feeding monkeys down one by one, linking their arms down into the drain, and starting to see...
That's probably what's down there in the first place.
I might have put...
We're missing three of those monkeys.
Yeah.
Where did they go, Church? Were you taking a bath with the monkeys?
Well, that's all the time we have for Our Honest Life. I'd like to thank you for joining us. Let's hear some sweet music.
Oh, this is the total opposite of sweet.
Oh, it's that horrible song again.
It's Ode to Joy. We never found out if it was public domain.
Of course it's public domain. It was a joke. I knew that.
Oh.
Oh. Mm.
Goodbye, everybody.
Maybe it's right, though. People feel joy as they don't have to listen to us anymore.
Thanks for listening. This has been Our Honest Life with Church and Mercy. If you'd like to know more about us or have any questions or comments, you can find us on Twitter at Our Honest Pod or contact us through email at ourhonestlife@gmail.com. Thanks again.